Well, from Washington now to the Middle East, Greg Karlstrom is the Middle East correspondent with The Economist for more on this story. And Greg, you can bring us some news now from Israel, because there has been a statement from the Israeli government and from Benjamin Netanyahu's office, we understand.
Right. And they have confirmed that there actually is a ceasefire and an end to the war, which hadn't been clear from the Israeli side for a number of hours. It's about what you would expect Netanyahu to say. It's a very triumphalist statement saying that Israel has achieved the goals of the war, the two of them defined by Netanyahu, one being to damage Iran's nuclear program and the other being to set back its ballistic missile program. And Israel undeniably has done both of those things over the past 12 days. Thanks President Trump, thanks the Americans for their support, and then it confirms that Israel has agreed to a ceasefire.
Now, we understand that up to around 30 Israeli people have been killed in this 12-day conflict. How is it going down within Israel itself, and how will that go down for Benjamin Netanyahu?
I think the question is how it will go down now that the war is ending. You know, broadly over the past 12 days, there was support for the operation. You know, most Israelis feel that Iran is a serious threat, and they supported an effort to reduce that threat. But they started in recent days to question what Israel's endgame was in this war. You started to hear criticism that, you know, it didn't seem like Israel had a plan for how to end the conflict. And you also heard criticism about the government's response on the home front, the lack of resources that were made available, for example, to people whose homes were destroyed in ballistic missile strikes. So there was already some anger bubbling up. I think now the question is whether that continues now that the war has ended, and also what happens to Prime Minister Netanyahu. Don't forget, this is happening in the context of a 600-plus day war in Gaza, which is still ongoing. There are still a lot of people in Israel who want accountability for October 7th. They want to see a state commission of inquiry. They want the prime minister to pay a political price. So I don't know if this is going to be a good thing for him necessarily in the long term, even though in the short term, politically, it gave him a boost.
Okay, and let's turn to Iran now. The country's state TV saying the ceasefire had been imposed on Israel. Will the Islamic Republic see this as a win now that they managed to get an attack, planned as it might have been, onto a US airbase in Qatar? But what about Iran, and how does that go? Because, of course, if we're talking about the death toll, over 500 killed in Iran over the last 12 days.
I don't think anyone is going to see it as a win inside of Iran. I think for the government, this has been catastrophic. They have watched their entire defense doctrine essentially fail since October 7th. They had relied on proxy militias, on ballistic missiles, and on this nuclear program to try and keep the country safe, and none of that worked. In the end, they were attacked by both Israel and America, their greatest enemies. And Israel was obviously able to penetrate the regime quite deeply. It had remarkable intelligence on the whereabouts of top generals and Iran's nuclear facilities. And so I think after the war, there's going to be a lot of paranoia. There are going to be recriminations inside of Iran. The regime is going to become even more repressive, I think, in a bid to try and reassert its control and root out leaks and so on and so forth. And so I think that's going to be bad for the broader population in Iran. This is going to be a very difficult time. The government is going to be, again, even more repressive than it usually is.
And whatever about domestically, will it try and regroup? Will it try and reestablish itself as a powerhouse within the Middle East? There were threats at one point in the last couple of days of so-called sleeper cells threatening attacks on US soil. Is that something that Iran could contemplate?
I think in the short term, it's going to be very inwardly focused. I think it's going to be some time before Iran can even think about projecting power in the region the way it once did. You go back 2 years, you look at this constellation of militia allies that it had: Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, various militias in Iraq, the Assad regime in Syria. Most of those have been badly damaged over the past 20 months. So Iran's ability to project power beyond its borders has been diminished. And I think it's also discovered since the war started on June 13th that it doesn't have many friends in the region. No one, whether it's Arab neighbors or whether it's great powers like Russia and China, no one is really going to bat on Iran's behalf. So I think they're going to come out of this sort of humbled and diminished in the short term and very inwardly focused.
Okay, Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist, thank you for joining us. And we'll have more on the ceasefire that's been announced between Iran and Israel after 12 days of conflict later in the programme. The time now, 26 minutes past 7.